Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Right saddle. Back out for a shot by Ekholm. Missed the net. Ahead for Marchand. Moving in on Skinner. Marchand is... It's in. He scores! Marchand wins game two for the Panthers in double overtime.
Hour number two rolls along here. That was game back on Friday. The double overtime game two Stanley Cup final between the Florida Panthers, Edmonton Oilers. Brad Marchand there with the win to make it 5-4. Bulldog tweeted this out that night, or maybe it was the next morning, and I very much concur. I love that overtime goal winner on the road, and you just hear the crowd just silence.
Especially because
there is a lot of fun with that.
It's kind of funny that that's what you point out, because I love the roar.
Oh, I love
when
both.
Corey Perry scores with 17 seconds left to tie it. I started looking at the crowd to see, like, all right, who are the people that first realize it?
Mm-hmm.
That Perry does score.
Yeah.
From this camera angle. I kind of want to see who are the ones that actually see it happen first. And I'm pretty sure it was like on the closest boards in the broadcast, row one, there's this dude just shoots up before everybody else. And it's great. It's like, I love that you saw that first. And you're like, but then the roar, all in unison, is brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I love both.
Yes.
And for very different reasons.
It's a dichotomy of sports fans.
Actually. Yeah, but it's just there's the different reasons of you had such the high highs for Edmonton where you can barely hear the call. And, I mean, Mike Breen, who does the NBA Finals, has talked about this and, like, why he didn't give Tyrese Halliburton, the bang when he hits the game winner. He had talked about it, you know, I think weeks prior about, like, what deserves a bang. And a lot of it was built in college when he was calling games. It was the quick hitter. It was the one-syllable word that could get him over the crowd noise.
Yes.
And then he lets it breathe.
To do it on the road is different because you're not hearing that crowd pop.
He doesn't need it, and he's also kind of built up, hey, if it's a three, yes. If it's just a two, there are certain parameters.
Right.
But I did like that, ultimately, on the road, he wouldn't necessarily need that. Now, if he hit the three for the win, it probably gets a bang. But why it originally came to be was it was a quick hitter that he could get over the crowd and then allow it to breathe.
Yes, and I think that's part of it too. Like, if that was in Indiana, for example, and he makes that shot, it might have gotten it.
Yeah, purely off the fact of the crowd
purely
lost it.
The crowd pops at that point, and you need to get something that's going to do that. That's reading the room, and that's what a good play-by-play guy would do on that one. Josh lamented a little bit there, that call with Kenny Albert there on Marchand's goal. It's not the greatest of calls, but it's also because that's the second time Brad Marchand snuck it underneath the pad of Stuart Skinner in a way that was very confounding. The puck actually changes trajectory. So Skinner gets a piece of it.
Yeah, he gets a piece of it.
And that's why it's a little slower trickle than that. And he's not sure it goes in. And sometimes play-by-play is hard. You understand it at that point.
I mean, to be fair, it's not the Patrick Kane Stanley Cup winner.
Nobody knew except Kane.
It wasn't that.
Hell, some of his teammates are still playing hockey on the ice.
Oh, man. Sometimes I will go back to that goal because it is really funny to watch. Like, only Kane knows he did it.
Kane knows it, and I think Boucher knows it, but he has to act like it didn't happen.
Right. It's the human reaction of like, oh, we just got away with it. Oh, okay, we didn't.
He's like, all right. I got to not move to see if they don't see this, but I feel like that didn't go well. Like, if he looks behind him, I think everyone figures it out.
Play-by-play, though, I think it's especially in hockey, can be very difficult.
It could be a little...
Because you could be in the middle of talking.
Ready? NHL play-by-play guys and gals, they're up at the top.
Yeah.
They are trying to look for the little black object that you can barely see even if you're in the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
Being shot at 80 to 90 miles an hour. Tell me that that's an easy thing to do, and I've got a bridge to sell you.
Yeah, it that sport, I think, in particular, is very, very difficult to call. So I do not envy a lot of them for what they have to do.
It's an art that you have to appreciate.
Especially, though, when a game goes to double overtime, and you're like, dude, it is well past my bedtime. Let us wrap this up.
Ready?
Oh, my goodness.
You just mentioned that. It is a long day for the players then, of course, but it's also for the broadcast because you got to keep going. You got to keep having the energy. You got to have energy for multiple overtime games.
Yeah.
And this Stanley Cup final, oddly enough, I said something to you that was an interesting little tidbit. We've gotten 3 games of hockey in 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh,
I love that, Josh.
Josh's face just did the same enlightened thing that you did when we were doing show prep.
You're doing the quick math, and you're like, oh, my gosh, that's right.
Yeah, I just did the, that's right. Oh, I never thought about it that way. Yeah, we got 3 games of hockey in 2 games.
It has been so far. And now I can confidently say it has been a great series.
Already, and it's 2 games.
Both have gone to overtime. Game 2 goes to a second overtime. It's 1-1. The series goes to Florida tonight.
That first period was wacky.
Game 2 was some of the best hockey I've seen in a long time.
I did find
Four Nations had a lot of fun with it, but a lot of that was more like the aggressiveness of it. But in terms of skill on display, the aggressiveness, both teams clearly are just at each other's throats. That second period, that's some of the highest level of hockey you'll see.
I did find it surprising that the refs were that involved in the first period, though.
There was a lot of penalties.
Exactly. That was
Edmonton had a few power plays that were nixed immediately.
Yeah, and that was like, okay. But also, unless he's a Buffalo Sabre, I think I hate Sam Bennett for life.
Yeah.
I'm kind of getting over the falling into the goaltender thing, making it look like people are pushing him. No, dude, that's gamesmanship. I see what you're doing, and I kind of hate it. I respect you for playing the game the way that you're playing it, mm-hmm. in the sense of I'm going to see if the refs will call it as they would see it.
Right.
I'm getting knocked into the net, but oh, no. you know what it is? It's handsome Squidward falling. That's what's going on here with Sam Bennett. I don't believe it for a second that you're being overpowered with the style of hockey that you play. He's not the biggest player mm-hmm. when it comes to a power forward, but he is a power forward. Spare me, Samuel. I don't think you're getting bullied into the goalkeeper. You are dropping yourself into him because I've got validation with Matthew Tkachuk patting you on the shoulder, giving you a smile because you know what you're doing. You're trying to get into Stuart Skinner's space and mess with him.
It is funny though, watching it live.
I also saw the Laval Rocket do this in the AHL with Devin Levi on an every other minute basis.
It is funny though, watching it live.
But they didn't try to hide it.
You could have taken the numbers and the nameplate off. You would have known exactly what player was doing.
Oh my God.
It was the most Sam Bennett thing ever.
Yeah.
He does dramatize the fall, the whole
Sam
thing.
Sam Bennett's
I was more worried for Skinner more than anything. He was down for a little bit.
It was a scary kind of twist of his knee there. Sam Bennett is going to get $10 million now from a team per year.
Yeah, he totally is.
Simply so that he doesn't run their goaltender.
He's totally going to get $10 million.
I want a general manager to say, yeah, and now I don't have to worry about him falling into our goalie.
Yeah, but
you are getting
the bonus, though, of who Sam Bennett is. I mean, in 2 games, against Edmonton, it's 3 goals.
Yeah.
He's
a road warrior, too. He's got the most goals on the road in a postseason.
But it's why, too, and I've mentioned it a lot, the Sabres don't need to add a ton offensively. If anything at all, they really don't. They need to add on defense and get a better power play. Like, that's really what needs to happen.
Yeah, and that's more – the power play is more schematics at this point than
right.
anything else.
But if you told me today that, hey, come the start of free agency, your team's going to have Sam Bennett, I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't thrilled.
I'd be a little scared of the price.
Well, that'd be Bennett, the one thing, yeah.
Bennett is going to be the one that really gives you the sticker shock of, oh, we actually all have money to spend for the first time since, like, 2017. We're going to spend it. Sam Bennett, I just lost out on Mitch Marner. Get over here. Like, that's some team
gonna
is going to get
out of it. Yeah.
Some team is going to get spurned by Marner and then throw money that they shouldn't at a Brock Besser or a Sam Bennett or a.
We talked about Brad Marchand last week.
Brad Marchand, absolutely. I think Marchand, Ehlers, Besser, and Bennett are the ones that are going to get some sticker shock of, oh, you did what?
Yeah,
and
they're waiting to see the Marner price, and then that's what they'll get.
And then they're going to pay almost that for a player that's not Mitch Marner.
Man, I just
that's going to be wild. I can't wait for July 1st.
It is such a joy,
one month from now, baby.
It is such a joy, though, to watch these two teams play. Yeah, look, I've enjoyed the NBA Finals. Last night, though, OKC was really able to lean on Indiana. And now I think in the first two games, Tyrese Halliburton, well, he does hit the game winner in game one. I think he's had 14 points in both of these games. That's not great. I get it, he's more of a passer, but you do want him to kind of ascend into take this game over, whatever it be, and he just kind of hasn't.
Right.
The opposite, I could say, has been true for the NHL, where everybody on both teams has just ascended to this is all that matters.
Oddly enough, it's the goaltending matchup that's kind of being baffling right now.
Yeah.
Like Skinner helped get the Oilers where they were in this postseason after a terrible start to his playoffs in first round against LA.
Mm-hmm.
Bobrovsky has been a wall throughout most of the playoffs for Florida, including allowing one goal in his final three games against Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
One of those, oddly enough, was a loss.
Well,
but, you know, it is what it is. Toronto going to Toronto. But now, these two cats are getting lit up left, right, and center.
Just so much skill on display.
But that's the thing, is that there's so much skill from both of these franchises. And the one thing you always see at this time of year is a Sabres fan lamenting, oh, we are so far away from that. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, so are 20 other teams. And I'm being nice. Probably like 23 other teams that are like, yeah, we're not that.
Especially when you look at the conference finals.
I don't have Evander Kane on the third line producing and getting me where I need to. I don't have Corey Perry scoring 8 goals in the playoffs
at
right 40. Now, man.
Is he 40, 41?
At 40 years old. Man. Like, the NBA on the NHL on TNT had a great tweet yesterday. The dichotomy of 40-year-olds. And it's
I saw that.
Corey Perry. Scores a game-tying goal in the Stanley Cup Final. And there's a picture of Paul Bissonnette right next to it. Has gout.
I felt so bad. I was like, oh my gosh.
Like, that's so mean.
Initially when I saw it, I was like, that's got to be a fan account, like, making fun of.
No, it
was legit. I was like, oh my gosh. Tonight, though, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins going to be a game-time decision for the Oilers. From Knobloch. Yesterday, we'll see about that, but overall, the skill for both teams has been exceptional. It has been just as entertaining as last year.
And that's the thing.
Just as entertaining.
That's the big thing. For the NHL, you want this because the ratings are a bit down. I hinted with this when we talked with Sal Mariano last hour here of the NFL is the only league that can really get away with the small markets. And here we are again with Florida in this thing again. And trying to win again, but they're in third straight finals. Is it overall healthier for the league that Florida is here once again? I don't know. However, how are you going to get people to come back to it? By having a series that is starting out the same exact way, punching each other the way that they are on the scoreboard and after the whistle. That it is such a good first two games there. That you need another split. You need another split in Florida. Edmonton has to get a game either tonight or on Thursday to make sure that they come back home evened up. There's no way you get away with it. Down 3-1, having to win 3 straight against Florida.
I was to say, yeah, what you don't want is legitimately a repeat of last year.
Yes.
Where it's all or nothing for 3 games. You do want the constant split. And I think as well that – I hate always bringing up the ratings. I've gotten into it, but I know a lot of people maybe don't care. But that is something to look at is just – it is on TNT. It is on Max. That is much more difficult to get to compared to ABC or ESPN, which is what the NBA is on. But I've pushed for this final for I'd probably say about a month since we knew these two teams could do it. Number one, for this reason, they are two great teams that will go back-to-back with each other, and they will go toe-to-toe with each other. But also, going into an Olympic year with some of the main stars on these two teams being some of the main stars for Canada-US, and then potentially having a defining third try at this, let's say Edmonton wins the Stanley Cup, a potential winner-take-all third time's the charm, let's do it kind of deal. The NHL would be ridiculous not to push that aggressively of Tkachuk, McDavid to start the year, beginning of the year with the Olympics, and then they can do it again for all of the marbles in the spring, summer. Let's get after it. And again, with how this series has started, with how it was last year going seven and the grind back from Edmonton, it's just such a blast to watch. You feel like you're watching the two best teams in the sport defining their legacies. Like that's how it feels right now.
You know what's kind of funny? You mentioned how Ryan Nugent-Hopkins might not be playing in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Something really fascinating about his postseason right now. He helps really put down the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
He has 9 points in the first four games of the Western Conference Final. He does not put up a point in the 6-3 win that puts him away, though.
Mm-hmm.
0 points through these first two games against Florida.
He played 25 minutes.
Well, that's double overtime.
Yeah, but I mean, he was still on the ice for a while.
He's on the ice for a while, but it is... Yeah, you kind of got sacrificed a little bit because you need to free up McDavid and Draisaitl away from the Sasha Barkov line. Somebody's got to pay the price for that, and that's Nugent Hopkins in that line. That's a tough sell. I mean, what are you going to do there?
It's tough.
But now is where you would be able to utilize someone like Nugent Hopkins when Barkov is going to get matched on McDavid. Florida is going to have that last change. You will have that matchup, and now he might not play, and it's like, ugh! That's a little frustrating, baby.
Especially the series going to Florida. You know, that crowd's going to be fired up.
It's not even crowd necessarily. It is last change. Tactically, you are able to do something about this. It's why I also don't respect Peter DeBoer. But you can use tactics.
Mm-hmm.
You can try to change things up. You need to have the last change in these games because it's not just about Edmonton. It's about Florida. Who am I pairing up against the Barkov line?
That's going to be your question.
Who am I trying to shut down? How am I trying to shut down the deep lineup? What is the biggest threat?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to put Barkov on the McDavid line because they are going to try to put the clamps on? I need to figure these things out. It is a game of chess that is a little underappreciated sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you have matchups that are screaming at you. Florida needs to do everything in their power to slow down Connor McDavid. When Edmonton has the last change, you're not doing that.
Yeah, no. McDavid, by the way, through these two games, 5 points. No goals, but 5 points.
But he is.
Including a beautiful assist in game two.
He is the distributor.
Mm-hmm.
He is the facilitator. He is that guy for that.
And to that point, Leon... Draisaitl, 3 goals in these two games.
Not a coincidence that he's finding Draisaitl like this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really good one as well in game one where he finds Draisaitl to end it.
Yeah.
There was one, I think it was in the Dallas series. No, it was Vegas. One of the overtime games against Vegas. McDavid makes this beautiful play over to Draisaitl. And based on their speed, they both have to part ways. But there's two crowds of players at the end of the game where they go off the bench.
Yeah, it was fun. That was fun / interesting to see.
Yeah, like you never see that before. And it's like, it's because McDavid made that setup and also because he's closer to the bench. But the guy who scored it is on the other side of the ice with a mini mob of his own.
And that mob eventually goes over to Connor.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They don't mob the goal scorer at that point. That's the disgusting thing about what McDavid's able to do. as a distributor, as a facilitator, and also as a matchup problem.
Mm-hmm.
And now, last change, Florida, you're probably putting Barkov on him. Probably, it's probably going to be Barkov, Reinhardt, Rodriguez.
Fine.
And let them play defensive hockey and try to have Bennett and Tkachuk figure a way to expose a little bit of defensive coverage.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the matchup, though, that Florida wants, is to put Barkov on McDavid.
Yes.
Risk it with Leon, but we got to stop this guy. 5 points through two games, and you can argue Edmonton didn't play particularly well in game two with all of the penalties they did take, even being on the power play. Like, that was something, too, that just they would start these power plays and immediately end them. It was 4-on-4, and you're like, Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, Nugent Hopkins being out is much less what Nugent Hopkins is going to do for you on the score sheet and much more, like, as you brought up, what he's going to do in the chess match of now all of a sudden, okay, now you can sort of move Barkov around probably to where you actually want him to be, which is on the ice at the same time McDavid is.
And I hate this. I feel like I'm going to throw up when I say this, but, like, if I'm Edmonton, I'm kind of looking out for Brad Marchand right now.
Yeah, 100%. He's had a very good series, by the way.
It's not even just a very good series. He's come into, like, he's hot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In his last five games, he has 5 points. He's a point per gamer right now.
Yep. And in just these two games, he has 3 goals. And, of course, one of them being the double overtime winner in game two. So he's absolutely getting hot. He is, and he's getting hot at a perfect time, too, because Matthew Tkachuk, we've mentioned it a lot, too. He is not healthy. I mean, he's back to playing the playoffs, but
he's not healthy
after the Four Nations, he probably should have shut the season down. And we'll even see how this offseason goes for his recovery. But they've needed someone else to kind of elevate. They've gotten Bennett. They've gotten Bennett for years. Barkov is Barkov. But you trade it for Marchand for this reason. But and so then, now, like, Bulldog's reaction during his show when Marchand was traded to Florida, it's coming true.
It is very much. He is.
This is what you got him for.
He's become the price of admission for the trade that they made. And Tkachuk, like you said, he's not healthy. He is still producing, mm-hmm. oddly enough, but that is also a testament to the depth of the Florida Panthers.
Absolutely.
He's tied for second with 4 other players with 17 points in the playoffs.
Oof.
Very quietly doing it because you see him struggling out there to skate. Carter Verhaeghe is becoming one of the more underrated players on this team.
And he's been underrated for Florida really since they've been a playoff team, like consistently. Yep. He's had big playoff goals for them years ago and kind of kept building that. He's just not Sam Reinhardt, Matthew Tkachuk, Barkov. Like, he's just not those guys.
Reinhardt's 8th on the team in points.
But yeah, so that's
how
the
deep they are.
They're very, very deep.
That's how deep they are. It's that Reinhardt and Rodriguez are tied for 8th.
Mm-hmm.
At 13 points in 17 games.
For Hagee, though, in this series, 3 points. All assists. Two in game one, 1 in game two.
So he's becoming a little bit – I'm pretty sure he's the one centering Bennett and Tkachuk.
These rosters are just so good. And I'm glad you brought this point up, too, near the start of the segment. There's like 20 to 25 teams who are all sitting there going, we can't keep up with this.
We can't keep up. We can't do this. Sabres fans. Yeah, we're leagues away from that team. Yeah. You're not alone.
It's not just a you problem.
I get that we're miserable, but get in line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, come on. These two teams are back in the Stanley Cup final for a reason. They're two of the deepest teams in the National Hockey League. It's not an accident. Oh, we're miles away from that. Yeah, you're watching the Stanley Cup finals.
I will say, though, with Florida specifically, and we brought up already the Tkachuk injury, this also might be kind of like their last run with this core for a little bit. It's a lot of hockey they've played over the last 3 years.
It's a lot of hockey, and it ultimately catches up to teams. We saw that happen with Tampa.
Yep.
We saw it happen with Colorado.
Mm-hmm. It catches you.
It catches you eventually. You know, I do think that they are more deeply built, that they can withstand it.
Well, you're seeing it with Tkachuk. I mean, he's producing, but he's not Matthew Tkachuk.
But Tkachuk also... I hate...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I hate to say this, but expect some LTIR shenanigans with Florida. They'll be able to get a big acquisition, and then Kachuk starts the season on LTIR.
Good.
See you for the playoffs.
Good fight. Use the rules that are there. That's my thing.
Like, I hate complaint, that rule.
Hate the rule all you want. That's fine. I don't disagree.
But the rule exists.
But use it to your advantage. I don't know why we all complain to Vegas. Ready? They're doing what they need to do to win a cup.
Each of the three cup winners of recency, Vegas, Florida, Tampa, used it. All of them.
Love it.
But also, you need a strong enough roster to get
you
away with
it. You absolutely do. You can't. Well, we talk about the Sabres, and just to bring it to them. Darlene goes out. They lose a ton of games in a row.
Yes.
Kachuk goes out for Florida. They're still a playoff team.
Comfortably.
And a damn good. Yeah, comfortably.
Comfortably to where they slow it down at the end of this season. And Barkov's sitting out almost all the games to end the year as well. Reinhardt sits out a couple. Like, they are really slow playing it, knowing, yeah, like, Ottawa's going to catch us. They almost did.
But it wouldn't matter.
But
it felt like they didn't care.
It didn't matter.
Yeah.
That's why. Because they are deep enough that if you know you're good enough and you've gotten yourself through a strong regular season to where, yeah, we're going to make it, you're going to make it.
Yeah.
Because you're deep.
You can play around with the rules that are set there. It's not like they're cheating.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot that you can be mad at as a Sabres fan. This ain't one of them. Of like, oh, man, it's a totally different sport. Yeah, you're watching the two best teams be the two best teams.
I will also argue playoff hockey in and of itself is completely different. The Sabres would look different. Not successful, but they would look different as well.
But again, ultimately it is the best two teams are the best two teams. In other news, Sabres Live comes up at 12.
Right. Game time tonight, 8 o'clock. Our coverage here on WGR will get going at 7:30. And that coverage is presented by Fico Car and Joy Shore Border Attorneys and brought to you in part by Window Nation, the perfect fit for your home and wallet. 803-0550, the number to call. We've talked a little bit about James Cook in hour number one. There was a report from Adam Schefter. May not be expecting him for a while in Buffalo. Could also mean then that he is not going to report to mandatory minicamp tomorrow. We won't know, though, until tomorrow. Want to get your thoughts in on that. Love to hear them. Also talking, of course, about Stanley Cup Final Game 3 tonight. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
But I don't think we'll be seeing him in Buffalo anytime soon. And again, the start of training camp will be the next critical moment. If they don't have a deal done there by then, does James Cook show up for training camp? Does he risk the penalties that come along in the collective bargaining agreement if he doesn't show up? But look, we've seen the Philadelphia Eagles this offseason reward Saquon Barkley. We've seen the Baltimore Ravens reward Derrick Henry. We have not seen the Buffalo Bills pay James Cook yet.
Yet. Also, the Bills play and practice in Orchard Park, not Buffalo, Adam.
There you go. Way to get him. Way to get him.
I'm trying here, okay?
That was part of Adam Schefter's report there on James Cook. Reading the tweet is one thing. Hearing him say it, that's a man who, look, he could be hearing from Cook himself, his agent, or just going like, hey, this is the rumblings I'm hearing in Orchard Park. That's a man that sounds like, guys, he's not going to be here for Orchard Park. We will see about training camp.
I need that tomorrow. I need to not have to hear about this.
It is interesting there. I mean, that sounds pretty definitive that he won't be there tomorrow and we will see about training camp. I mean, he says it kind of almost how we have, which is like, that's the next juncture. That's the big moment of, will he kind of hurt himself in the long run in terms of, you know, monetary gains? We did bring up Dalvin Cook, James's brother, and when he got his extension, he ultimately did get signed September 12th of 2020, which I believe, if we're going to go to that season, I believe that's the day before their first game, or maybe even the day of their first game. It's the day before. They play September 13th. They end up losing to Green Bay, but it's the day before. T.J. Watt is also somebody that has had this happen, where he gets his big extension the day before their first game. It was with Buffalo. And was it like that Saturday? He gets an extension. He's on the field on Sunday. Maybe there's something that happens. I'm also curious, though. I think, and I know Sal's brought this up a lot, too. Sal Capaccio. Because we did have Sal Marin on earlier today. I don't want people to be confused. But Sal Capaccio.
We don't want to mix up our sales.
Right? Sal Capaccio's brought this up a lot, too, of there really is no more holdouts. Like the day of Darrell, perfect example, Hard Knocks. Bills are going to have Hard Knocks this summer. The days of Darrell Revis being basically a shadowy presence over like over the product of Hard Knocks, and he was. I mean, he was less of a character and more just like the idea of Darrell Revis signing. That's ultimately what it kind of became for their edition of Hard Knocks, where for Buffalo, hold ins have become much more popular.
Right,
partially because you're not losing money.
Yeah.
You're not hurting yourself. And you can still argue, look, guys, I'm with my team. I'm just not going to get myself hurt.
Yeah.
And most people would not complain about that. There will be some, and to each their own. But most people would be like, yeah, you don't want to get hurt so that all of a sudden the contract you were maybe going to get,
and the players understand. The fellow players are going to understand. 100%. If you're a hold in, for example,
100%.
That is, okay, it's a business, but you are here.
Yep.
You know, like you're not going to lose the teammates' respect. Le'Veon Bell, for example, like they raid his locker for cleats. Like,
and that was wild.
That was wild, but also the Pittsburgh locker room just being a
well, yeah, we found out not great. we found out not good.
I thought I had more respect for Tomlin in that moment because like you got that team to get their stuff together to
I
at
still
least win football games.
Kind of do,
but now he's also. But now they also still have a locker room that's on fire, and it's like okay, now how much of it is just you don't do enough to stop the nonsense?
Yeah,
how much of it is actually now you do kind of let this go. And now it's a problem. But I don't think that there is a holdout issue here. Again, I'm the one saying it, so I know I'm probably going to eat my words tomorrow.
It's fine. But, hold it. It's okay.
But you know what? Like, again, I don't want to question Adam Schefter and the validity of his report, but I also do very much want to hope that he's dead wrong.
Yeah, he's wrong.
Like entirely wrong,
but he sounded pretty adamant on what it was. It's just it's gonna be interesting. Now, ultimately, as we mentioned too, for a while we've talked about how it is much more along the lines of training camp, mandatory mini camp. It sucks, but it's not the worst thing in the world if he misses. Training camp is the one where oh no. Okay, he's gambling with his future. He's gambling kind of with where the team is going to be at. And we've mentioned it already today, that feeling that if he's not there at training camp, the Bills will move on. There's yes. already some of that feeling anyways amongst Bills fans of, well, they drafted Ray Davis. This will just be the latest iteration of Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, and the always fun adventure of Bills running backs in the McDermott Bean era. Now, the argument has always been brought up that Singletary and Moss never warranted a second contract.
Right.
Don't disagree with that at all. Cook absolutely could warrant a second contract. But the Bills, I think the main argument has been, have already been setting themselves up for his replacement. They'd love to have him be there for his entirety of his rookie deal. I don't see him pulling a Le'Veon Bell. That hurt Bell in the long run. He did at the time become the second highest paid running back in the sport, but it did not go at all how we thought. I mean, didn't the Jets contract ultimately go under what Pittsburgh wanted to pay him anyways?
Yes.
So it did not help him by any means.
He actually hurt himself a lot in the holdout and the negotiations,
or lack thereof. And while teams will, and you mentioned it, players will be like, look, it's a business, man. Like, just be here when we need you. And then he missed the entire, or sat out the entire season. Teams, I think, will rightfully go, okay, what else are you willing to set out for? How much are you really in this? Le'Veon, though, also was somebody, I mean, he started like a rap career in the middle of that holdout and the whole thing. And he disappeared for like 6 months.
He should have walked away.
And so that is something. I don't think Cook is in that ballpark at all.
Yeah, I don't think Cook is not only not in that ballpark. I look at, again, like Le'Veon Bell, that's a different circumstance in and of itself. But I also acknowledge that, you know, the Holden thing is a very realistic route. Again, you don't have the locker room then looking at you like, why are you not here? And instead, you are there, you have reported, and, you know, obviously then it's, okay, you are looking for more money, and we know it's a business.
We get it.
But you are here.
Yep. And it is, and there's a brotherhood that guys know, like, get your money now.
And I think that that's what's going to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm like, I don't know, Adam. I don't know what you're hearing. And I do think that Cook's agency really has been very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a public negotiation tactic. Is what I draw this up.
Agreed.
As. Again, I know nothing other than what I'm seeing, and I'm trying to make the best educated guess that I can. I don't know a thing. And I don't know if I'm necessarily being an apologist at this point or not, but I am suspecting that he's going to be there tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because I just don't want the headache and I'm trying to cope with it.
Yep. Now, and this is also another thing too, and Chris Brown tweeted out 10 minutes ago, we brought it up as well. If he does not report for training camp, because of where Cook is at in his career, being on his rookie deal, he will not have achieved enough seasons, enough playing time.
He wouldn't lose his accrued seasons. Yeah, okay.
And that is where the gambling with your career pops in, is because it's like, dude,
then you've got hurting yourself. Then you've got bad advice coming from your agent at that point. That's what that becomes.
And he won't reach free agency in 26.
Exactly.
And so that's the big part of it, is that he then would delay even getting to free agency where he could then get money. And so that's where I think even hearing Adam Schefter somewhat seem a little less assured that he's going to be in training camp, that would be ridiculous from the agent to push him to that.
Yeah.
Ultimately, this is what you're going to hear in the negotiation rooms. We don't even use him 60% of the time on the field. He's not our third down running back.
Yeah.
He was not top 10 in rushing last year.
Do you know how easy it would be to move on from a player that took 48% of your snaps? Easier than if it was 60. Easier if it was two-thirds of your game, two-thirds of your offensive snaps. You've got him on the field less than half the time.
And if you're all of a sudden going to be, wait, you guys will give me money, I don't need to hit free agency in 26. Man, what?
Right.
I just don't love that idea. I don't think it's going to happen. I think there's a good chance he could be here tomorrow and just not participate. I think that's absolutely in the window.
That's absolutely what it is.
That's where you're sitting, is that you think that's what it's going to be.
I think it's what's going to be at minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more or less, I'm trying to hold Cook to something that he said, which is, I don't want to draw the attention and put it on myself with this.
Yep. Real quick, let's go to the phones here before our next timeout. Jeff is on the line. Jeff, how are we doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I'm with you as far as, like, I just don't want the headache. And when it first came out, you know, after the season or whatever, you know, talking to a few buddies, I'm like, you know what, this is just a distraction we don't need. But I'm going to defend the Bills because when you look at the numbers, yeah, they're good, the percentage, the yards per carry, so on and so forth, the touchdowns are outstanding, but the percentage that he's on the field and the way the Bills use him, they don't really use him or have to in short yardage because either you got Josh Allen picking up a yard or two, or you've got a bigger back, or, you know, the Ray Davis type of deal. And as far as, like, as much as he touches the ball and how the Bills use him and the way the Bills offense is designed, not around a running back, I don't have a problem. He's a great player. I'm sure he'll go somewhere and he'll get his 1,000 yards a season and get his 10 touchdowns. But on this team, he's not the $12 million I want to spend on this team. Mm-hmm. The way it's designed, the offense is designed. It's basically designed around Allen and having a great quarterback and leaning on your running game when you can. And you can see that Dorsey, a little more balanced in the running game. But, again, any quality back, I'm not saying that he's not. Any competent back could get you 800, 1,000 yards. And when the Bills, if you look at
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Season, a lot of those touchdowns, you had some breakaway touchdowns, but a lot of them were, you know, just touchdowns where that offensive line would have opened that hole for anybody. So, I mean, there's a lot to consider in giving it back $12 million for 5-6 years, especially on this team. And that's my point. So I defend the Bills and not paying them.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks for the call. I really agree with your point of on this team, because we've mentioned Dalvin Cook a lot. He was somebody that was holding in and waited for a contract, gets it the day before the season starts. That's a Minnesota Vikings team in 2020 that's led by Kirk Cousins and a rookie Justin Jefferson. That's a team that, yeah, the idea of paying their 1,000-yard running back that they think could maybe push to what he ultimately did, 1,500 yards, made sense. To Jeff's point, though, this offense is built through Allen and the offensive line. And, you know, what can Ray Davis do? The one game James Cook misses, Ray Davis looks like a do-it-all running back. He looks incredible.
And I'm hoping this is the last time I have to say this. Because tomorrow, if he's not there, obviously the conversation grows a little bit more loud. But it's this. I'm going to miss James Cook as a Buffalo Bill. Because ultimately, this roster does not have the cap to pay him what he wants. And some team will.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550, the number to call. Going to take a quick timeout here. Coming up at the top of the hour, Sabres Live, as we get ready for Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. A quick final segment here as we get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Do want to remind you that Friday Foursome with Encore Golf is back, ready to tee it up for free. Every Friday, we're giving away a foursome at one of our favorite nearby fairways. Send a Hickory Stick Golf, Diamond Hawk Golf Course, or Royal Niagara Golf Club, plus a box of Encore Golf Balls, a $25 Encore gift card. Enter now through August 21st at WGR550.com for your shot at the pin. I golfed this weekend, Derek.
And how'd you do?
I left every chip short. I'm so embarrassed.
I love that, like, you went golf on Saturday.
Oh, man.
And when I did that read on Saturday, I had likened it to golf is sometimes a game of whack heck.
Oh, my gosh.
Except you're not saying heck. You're saying the other thing.
That's right.
And then our own tee to green PGA pro, Jeff Mitas, I had posed the question of, like, how often do you think Jeff says it when he slices one or puts one short? And he texts me almost immediately. So he's listening. And he goes, every heckin' time.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, okay, that's funny. That's too funny.
I have not golfed in like probably about a month until Saturday. And I just, I mean, you get up to that chip. It's like, you know, 30 yards away, 40 yards away. So you know what club I'm using my 60 if you've got a sand wedge, what have you. Derek, I left every single one of them short. Every single one of them.
Hey, at least now you know what you got to work on.
It's not going to get better.
Should I text Jeff Mitas?
We're here. I got to take up golf lessons. I do know that.
Yeah.
Speaking of golf, it is also U.S. Open week this week. It'll be at Oakmont Country Club. That'll get going on Thursday. We'll be talking about that throughout this week. But that is going to do it for me and Derek. We'll be back on tomorrow from 10 to 12 as we get ready for mandatory minicamp.
Maybe there's a James Cook thing. Maybe I get to start dancing.
Well, we will see come tomorrow. Zach Capaccio will also join us from One Bills Drive for that. But until then, stay tuned. Sabres Live coming up next. This is WGR. Thank you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.